Dear friends in Christ, happy new church year. That's where we're at today. So since today is beginning the new church year, and since we are also focusing on the second coming of Jesus, which could be at any moment, those are the two things I'm going to focus on today. Let me say a little bit more about the church year here. So with the church year, not every congregation uses it, and there's no requirement to use it. Let's understand the church year is a man-made invention. When was it invented? We have to go back to the time of Emperor Constantine back in the 4th century. So what was going on at that time? Just prior to that, Christianity was illegal, so people were worshiping secretly in their houses. Emperor Constantine declared Christianity to be legal, and now people are worshiping publicly. They're in much larger venues as they're gathering, so that is when the liturgy expanded. Back here, the liturgy was only word and sacrament, and then the liturgy expanded, something similar to what we are using today, and that was also the time then that the church year began to develop. So the church year has developed over the years, but these are the components, though, and these are the things that we should be focusing on. Now, when we come to the church year, it's not like the seasons that we think about with winter, spring, summer, and fall, because those are each 13 weeks. But rather the church year, it's a little bit different. So we come to the season of Advent, and we're thinking about Jesus coming. So we are thinking about both his second coming, which is yet to come. We're also thinking about his first coming. Coming as we get closer to Christmas, because at Christmas we are celebrating the fact that the Son of God has put on human flesh in order to be our Savior. And then we come to the season of Epiphany. For a long time I didn't understand Epiphany, but actually Epiphany is that season of the year where the Almighty God is clarifying to us that this baby is in fact the promised Messiah, the Christ, the one promised to Adam and Eve, the one who has come into the world in order to ultimately take away the sin of the world. So Epiphany is a very important season. And then we come to the season of Lent. So once we know who Jesus is, now he's going to make the journey to the cross and he's going to lay down his life. Think about this, the very Son of God loves you and me so much that he's going to give his life for us. And he did it. But that wasn't the end, though. Then we come to the season of Easter, and we know that Jesus is risen. So he is the Son of God. He is still in human flesh, and yet he is risen, never to die again, and even now he is reigning over all things. God wants us to know that. We emphasize that toward the end of the season of Easter when we come to the day of Ascension. So you can see there that those five seasons of the church year, they have different lengths to them, but altogether, though, we're covering about 6 months of the year. We call those the festival time of the year. And then we come to one more season, that's Pentecost, and that is really for us now, now that we've been through all these things with Jesus, and now that we know who he is, and we know we are saved through him, now during Pentecost, we are compelled to go and tell others about who he is and what he has done, and the season of Pentecost is about another 6 months. So that's how the church year is laid out. But notice, though, how every single season is emphasizing Jesus. That is one of the beauties of the church year. If we didn't follow the church year, we could maybe slip into talking about different social issues or different things that might be okay to talk about, but they would be apart from Jesus. So the church year can be a good thing, keeping us focused on the main person that the Bible is all about, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ, and he came to do what he did for our eternal benefit. So I hope with what I've said, you understand the church year a little bit better. Let's go on to the second part here, being spiritually alert. So as we have concluded the old church year last week, now that we're in the new church year, we do begin with our focus on Jesus' second coming. So it's important that we are ready. Now, there are moments in life where it's important to be on the alert, like every second. So I'm thinking about a baseball player, and he's standing in the batter's box. He's got the bat in his hand, and he's looking out toward the mound, and the pitcher is beginning his windup. Boy, right at that moment, you better be ready. If you're not ready, you're not going to hit the ball, and you might be hit by the ball. So you better be ready when you step into that batter's box and the pitcher begins his windup. Well, it's even more important that we are ready for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Well, it says, while they, but it's talking about unbelievers, while they are saying peace and safety. So they have this false feeling of peace and safety. While they are saying that, then sudden destruction will come upon them and they will not escape. What is God telling us? There will be no second chance to repent. So it's important that we are repentant now and that we are living day by day, moment by moment, in repentance. I want to touch on the scripture readings a little bit now. So going back to our Old Testament reading in Isaiah chapter 2, it's really telling us to share God's word. Let me go to a summary here that we find in the Lutheran Study Bible. It says, the Lord will gather the nations to his church. How's he going to do that? Through the word of God, through the Bible. He calls you and me to fulfill this prophecy by sharing the word with our family, friends, and neighbors, and even others if they're willing to listen. If we step back and think about this, let's understand how privileged we are that we know Jesus. We don't simply know about him, but we know him, we have a relationship with him, and we are saved through him. Our sins are forgiven through him. Because we're in such a privileged position, God is calling us to make him known to others. How can we do that? Well, let us be courageous. Can it be sometimes difficult to speak to people? It can be, but let's rely on the Lord. Let's pay attention to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Let us be courageous, and then let us speak the truth in love. We're not trying to twist anybody's arm, but we're simply loving people, caring about people, speaking the truth in love. Now, I'm not talking about telling them a pleasant story, but I'm talking about sharing the word of God with them. That is what people need. Let's go to our epistle reading. So the focus here in Romans 13 is to live in readiness for Jesus' return. Let's look at the text again here, or at least part of it. Paul is telling us to rid ourselves of the deeds of darkness. In other words, he's saying to get rid of anything that doesn't harmonize with the Word of God. So we have to be in the Word of God to know what is good, what is not good. And then he's saying, whatever is not in harmony with the Word of God, get rid of that. That will help us to live in readiness. And then he wrote, put on the armor of light. So whatever is needed for living a successful Christian life. Sometimes that might be calling us to memorize a key Bible passage. When I think about my life years ago, as I was reading the Bible, sometimes I'd come across a passage, and I knew that that passage was talking to a problem in my life. So I picked it and I memorized it because I wanted that to be a constant reminder for me every time I reviewed it, that God was reminding me how to deal with that problem in my life. And then, as I was continuing to read the Bible, then I would come across a passage, and that passage was something that I just felt very strongly that at some point I'm going to be talking to someone, and this topic is going to come up, and this would be like the perfect passage to share when this topic comes up. So then I would memorize that verse. So I would encourage you to do the same as you're reading the Bible. Think about how the Bible applies to you. Think about how you might want to have it in your arsenal to be able to use when you're talking to somebody else. These are important, powerful things. And then we have a longer section here. Paul wrote, "Behave properly as in the day, not in excessive merrymaking," you know, pointing to sinning, "not in drunkenness, not in sexual wildness, and lacking moral restraint, not in quarrels and jealousy." As I think about all of that, aren't those the ways of the fallen world who do not know Jesus? So God is saying to us, there's plenty of that stuff in the world, but he's saying, I have called you to be my holy children. I have brought you into my kingdom. I have promised that you will be with me forever. Yes, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We're not the part of the world that is going to be eternally condemned. So God is saying to us, don't give in and be like the world, but rather be a shining light of the truth. Be different than the world. So we're always going to be tempted to be more like the world, but may the Holy Spirit help us and guide us to be different. And then it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we put him on? Well, we take the Bible and we fill our mind with the Bible. We believe the Bible in our heart. That's going to change how we think. That's going to change how we speak. That's going to change what we do. So those are ways that we can put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally it says, make no provision for the flesh in regard to things forbidden. Don't say, well, 95% of my life, that's going to be in harmony with the Bible, but I want to kind of keep 5% over here so I can indulge in the things of the world. Well, it's saying, no, don't keep that 5%. It's saying, fill your entire life with the things that are honoring to God. That's going to be a blessing to us. That's going to be honoring to God. And that's going to be a way in which we will be better equipped to be a blessing to others. Let's go on to the gospel reading here. So we're focusing on Jesus' return. And first of all, Jesus told us that no one knows when. So what is critical here? It is critical to always, always be ready. And then I think Jesus is also telling us to stop ordinary living sometimes. Maybe not for you and me, but there are plenty of people in the world that need to maybe stop eating, stop drinking, stop getting married. Why do I say those three things? Jesus said that when the flood came in Noah's day, people were just living as normal. They're eating, drinking, marrying, like nothing is out of the ordinary. And then what happened? All of a sudden, the flood came and took them all away. Imagine if somehow God made it known to us that at midnight tonight, Jesus would come the second time, and that would be it. That would be the end of the world. That would mean, looking at the clock here, that would give people about 14 hours and 15 minutes in order to repent. If people only knew that they would be lost forever if they did not repent, and they knew that they only had that time, do you think they would be wasting their time eating or drinking or getting married? Hopefully not. Hopefully they would say, I'm going to dig into this Bible. This is the Word of God. I'm going to go talk to a pastor. I'm going to talk to one of my family members or friends who knows the way to heaven. They're going to put off everything, and they're going to be focused on figuring out repentance before we come to midnight. God wants there to be this great sense of urgency among people that they would do that. And then let's be honest here and realize that many do not understand. So like I said a moment ago, if only people knew, but many people don't know. As I think about that in my own life, back many years ago when I was not in Christ, I thought I was in Christ. And this is how the forces of evil were working on me. They were telling me I was in Christ. They were telling me I was okay. They were telling me, don't worry about it, everything will be fine. So when I think about people today who do not know Jesus, I realize that the forces of evil are telling them, hey, you're a good guy, you're doing okay, don't worry about it, everything is going to come out fine. So people are so thoroughly deceived. How can they have their eyes open to the truth? It's only going to happen through God's eye-opening word of truth. So when we think about people who do not know Jesus, we can be kind to them and do all kinds of nice things toward them, but what they really need to hear is the saving truth of God's word. That is the truth by which the Holy Spirit will work in order to open their eyes, lead them to repent, and bring them into his kingdom. So may God help us to be courageous and then speak the truth in love, or get the truth to them in some kind of a manner. I want to touch on this topic here of taken and left. So it can be a little bit confusing. It can be kind of hard to understand. Is it good to be taken, or is it good to be left? Well, let's take a look at three different things here real quick. So Dr. Kretzmann, he wrote, of two men working together, one will be accepted, the other will be left, thus rejected. Or going to Lenski, he wrote, so it will happen that two men will be in the field working there side by side. One is taken, that is received, the other is left, abandoned. And then to help us kind of get the whole picture here, let's go to what Jesus said earlier in Matthew 24. He said, and he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet blast, and they will gather together his elect. So think about the two working together. The one who is left is being abandoned, and the one who is taken, well, we see the other side of it here. The one that is taken is being gathered with Jesus and getting ready to enter eternity with God and with all who died believing in him, or all who were found in the faith when Jesus returned. I hope that makes a little bit of sense in trying to clarify that topic. Let me conclude like this. So we must be ready. From Romans chapter 13, we learned how to live in readiness. I encourage you to maybe this week, or maybe during the season of Advent, to take that little section and to keep looking at it and keep asking God, how can I get my life in line with this little section in Romans chapter 13? And then we also looked at Isaiah chapter 2. We learned our assignment, and our assignment is to share God's word with others. So we can do that in all kinds of different ways. We can speak it, we can send it in the mail, we can do so in all kinds of different electronic ways, but let's find the Word of God that we understand, that we believe is really important, and then may God give us the courage to lovingly share it with others. As we live in readiness and as we share God's Word, what's going to happen? God is going to use those things in order to keep us ready and also to use us to help others be ready. Aren't those some of the most important things in the whole world? May God help us to rejoice that we are saved, and may God give us such a love for others that we will be courageous, that we will take action, that we will share the Word, and by the grace of God, they will be brought in to the kingdom. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you have brought a Christ-focused order into our lives with the church year. Help us to better understand it and to see how we move through it year after year. You have also guided us how to live. Help us to take your word in a serious way and help us to adjust our lives accordingly. You have also called us to love others by sharing your word. You know, dear Lord, that we can struggle in all these ways, but we pray that you would fill us, that you would powerfully help us in all these different ways to go forward unto your glory and unto the eternal benefit of others. In Jesus' name we pray.